Good evening and welcome to the second in my autumn wine foodie series. And this is essentially all about the fact that not only are the days drawing in, but they're getting considerably colder. And so today I am opening a wine to go with, I would say, something of a better food pairing than last time, but not necessarily. I mean, it depends what you think of Gamay, essentially. So Gamay is the grape varietal that is the foundation of the amazing and, you know, uncopyable Beaujolais district in France, at the sort of somewhere off on the Rhone. And this one's called La Rose Purpure, or Purpure, one of those. And it's old vines, Michael Lachaud, and it's 12.5%, and it's 2021. So it's weighing in here at 4 years old. It says this cuvée is named La Rose Purpure because in the Pierre d'Ores region, you will find a rose plant at the beginning of each of the vineyard lines. Well, that's pretty normal, you know, in Kent as well. And it's made with 100% Gamay grapes from old vines, southern Beaujolais, beautifully smooth red wine, red, black, berry fruits. Enjoy with cured meats. So I'm just going to open it. Okay, it's a cork, so it needs a bit of a screw and then a quick, you know, release, as it were. So I've been picking the Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier grapes in Kent near Appledore, and these are to make a sparkling wine. But I do think we could make a lot more of red wines in this country. Wait for the kiss. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Oh, oh. We could even plant Gamay. Let's try that. There's far too little experimentation because people are worried about financial return. And of course, if you do something for the love of it, you don't worry about financial return, do you? So that's going to be the thrust of my life in the future. But right now I've got my Dartington Crystal Merlot Masterclass glass, simply because it happened to be the first one that I found in the cupboard of glasses. And I'll give you a nice picture of this magnificent and spectacular wine label. This is the last I've had of six of these. Really fantastic. But I'm going into a sort of drink it up now kind of phase of wine. You know, don't want to meander on the window or anything. Drinking window, I mean. Right, so tonight what I've got, and I do think it's a better pairing, but you could argue this isn't the season of the year for Beaujolais. I usually drink it in June, chilled with sliced strawberries. So, you know, maybe this is a departure from my norm. But it is a single varietal, and you'll see the next wine I have up in the series is also a single varietal. And the three wines, you know, all in Rhone-shaped bottles, very, very similar styles of creating wine. But, well, you know, it's pretty unusual, I suppose. It's a bit almost wintry, but I thought I'd risk it. I've gone for beef brisket. I've sort of created a thing, which is thinly sliced sweet potato with creme fraiche and peas, garden peas, not the sort that you find growing in woodlands or along the seashore, but garden peas and these shiitake mushrooms. I think it's shiitake, I'm not quite sure. Haven't had them before, but they were reduced, at least in price, if not in size. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll try those. And then I thought, oh, it's not many of them, I'll just cook the whole lot. So I've got those and this beef brisket, you know. And I thought, well, that's a jolly good, you know, getting into the autumn sort of dinner. Be fantastic with, you know, chestnut stuffing or something like that. Haven't got any, never mind. I've put Italian herbs on, and let's get right inside this Beaujolais, shall we? So this is a decent Beaujolais, yeah? It's not one of these Nouveaus or a cheap version or something that's got water in it or anything like that. I mean, you know, arguably wine does have water in it, but it came up through the soil, through the rootstock, into the grape clone, if they're using a clone, And thus it became, first leaves, branches, and eventually fully matured grapes, which get snipped, thrown into a bucket, onto the back of a tractor, into the press, into the stainless steel tanks, and then after some time, possibly a little bit of time in barrel, but you wouldn't expect that really from Beaujolais. It's just a matter of throwing it into the bottles and getting out to the British market as quickly as you can. What was it again? 12.5%. Okay. So, don't feel for any moment that this is going to be a light-bodied wine. There's a big black beast. Looks magnificent. I'm just going to take a picture of it as it is right this second, then I'll do another one with the food. So, because it just looks nice, and I just want to do that. So let's have a little. Da-da-da. Okay, right, that's all done. So on the nose, which of course is always the crunch, isn't it? If we don't like it on the nose, are we going to enjoy it on the palate? And if your nose is anything like mine, you're probably going to get the complete wrong idea of it right at the start. So, right nostril, left nostril, good old imbibing of, Yeah, fantastic looks, more or less, opaque. Doesn't smell of anything in particular, and on the palate, do take quite a long time swirling it around my mouth without mouthwashing as such. And then I want to see what's the finish like. So the finish is when it sort of departs down your glug hole, whatever that's called. I don't think it's the esophagus, is it? I don't know. Whatever. The bit that, takes from your mouth to nether regions, probably the stomach or somewhere like that. I don't really know much about the digestive system. I just, drink and hope for the best, really. So far, I've only got the best, and I do drink a lot. So I think drinking more is probably better than drinking less. That's just my opinion. And I try to find some food that sort of matches it if I can. I think this is going to be tremendous, even though you wouldn't say, oh yeah, Beaujolais beef brisket. You wouldn't. Well, you just wouldn't. You might say strawberries and cream, or you might say, prawn salad or something. But no, we're going for beef biscuits. So this Beaujolais has actually got a lot more body. It's more like, a Mike Tyson than a Rudolf Nureyev. That's sort of just to give you an idea. I mean, they're both very athletic, of course, and the Gamay grape is actually very athletic in the grape world. I think it is. It's got, flexibility and a sort of pulsating goodness. Yes, I don't know exactly what Beaujolais means, beautiful something or other, but it to me it's the wine of youth. Yeah. And you've got to be fairly youthful if you're gonna, beat the shite out of somebody or dance the night away as energetically as Nureyev did. So, I mean, he was the one person to my mind who really put Russia on the map, but almost nobody else did. I mean, Boris Spassky did his best, didn't he? But unfortunately, he met his what was the word? Met his nemesis in Bobby Fischer, and it was all very sad for him. But there you go, that's Russia for you. I've never thought much of their diet. All that cabbage soup, it doesn't do anything for anybody. And what wine do they drink? Nothing, do they? Just, if they drink anything at all, it's come from Moldova or Bulgaria or somewhere. They're just really pants. Though the only thing they can do is vodka, and even that, really. I mean, we can make better vodka actually in Britain, and we do. So, I mean, the weather is going down, the temperature is going down, so the red wines start to become more difficult, okay, to sort of access the true character of them. And I'm getting almost nothing on the nose, which is very unusual. If anything, a little bit of burnt match, but that's not really anything to write home about, is it? How was your wine? Oh, it's magnificent. It smelled of burnt match. Did it really? Good gracious, I wish I'd been there with you. Yeah, well, I'm glad you weren't, because I had it all to myself. So, I mean, rose purple. Are we getting purple rose in this or what? Very nice glass. Beautiful bottle. Beautiful wine. A really lovely sort of ruby, you know, literally like if you were wearing a ruby on a finger at the bottom of the glass. Really spectacular. Makes me fall in love with it, actually. Now, bearing in mind that is bottle 6 of 6, I'm not getting anything I can tell you about here. That's really strange. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the beef brisket. Going to have a couple of mouthfuls of beef brisket. Then I'm going to taste the wine again. And then I think that the wine is going to start to come out across the beef, okay? So just give me a couple of seconds, because I left it in the oven so that I didn't talk it cold, as it were. Whoa, it's a whopping great plate full of din-dins, you know, for me. Luckily, I'm quite a tucker-inner of whopping plates of food. Indeed, I can't see the sense in having small plates of food, can you? No? Right, so let's take another photograph, because it's, you know, rather nice, and then we'll see if we can get anything out of this one. The other one I could talk about for ages, and this one, although I know the wine well, and I have a great love for Beaujolais, I really, really do. Nice. Yeah, that's nice. And I can't actually find anything to say, which is rather crummy of me, I think. Makes me sound a little bit amateur, doesn't it? Right, so I'm just going to have one of these weird mushrooms and a little bit of the beef. Then I'm going to see where we're going to with the wine. I do think it's going to pair really well. It's a bit, sorry, beefy Beaujolais. For a pea or two. So it's good to have a pea, isn't it? I don't normally eat my dinner on my audios, but dashed fine stuff. I'm actually getting more into this sort of pulled meat, where you have a lump of meat and it's been very slow cooked, and then you bring it back to, you know, life. Well, not exactly life, because obviously it's dead. But, you know, you bring it back to a vibrant sort of state of edibility, and for about half an hour, you know, and then you pull it with forks. It's similar to salt beef, which probably is brisket, actually. But there's such a world of difference between... I mean, I never eat burgers or anything like that, for goodness sake. Nothing processed, no. There's such a world of difference between a fried steak and, you know, a casserole type of beef like shin, or these, you know, or roast beef, obviously, for dinner, where you might have silver side and you slice it thinly. But these sort of magnificent, dense textured, pulled beefs, fantastic. Very British, really set you up. Magnificent. I think later I should do a series on excellent wine pairings with horse meat. Yeah, I don't know where I'll get horse meat, but perhaps I can get some sent in from France. And of course, goat. Right, excuse me, because I really want to give you the nub on this, because I think I've chosen a very interesting pairing. I mean, you know, beef brisket, you would think, well, possibly an Argentine Malbec, or you just go for Bordeaux, you know, but no, I've gone for Beaujolais. A purple rose Beaujolais at 12.5%, 4 years old. Especially by these glasses, because they sound like church bells. Yeah, you see, now, I truly believe, of course I am my own echo chamber, but I truly believe that, you know, with the foodieism, the wine is starting to come into its own. I mean, obviously, the more you hold the glass, and this can easily be accomplished, you know, whilst indulging in conversation. I mean, if I go to a friend's, I will always expect them to give me red wine. I mean, a few of them might give me white wine, but I want to, you know, it's like anything else, right? You can tell a cat owner by the behaviour of the cat. If the cat goes out and just willfully kills pigeons and then drags the thing to the back doorstep, that pretty much shows the inner turmoil inside the chaotic, you know, ecosystem of the owner. My cats never catch animals or birds. Why would they? They're well fed, they're taught to be, you know, very genteel beings. They, you know, resonate with nature, and they can sit outside and just have birds, butterflies and dragonflies dancing around them. A shrew or two might pass and they won't even raise a whisker or an eyebrow, because the one thing I love to do with cats, especially, and any animals, you know, is to just train them up to be very gentle, loving, compassionate little darlings, you know, so they don't do anything nasty. But, you know, wine, or at least your friend's wine cellar, is pretty much going to tell you the depths of their soul. And, you know, if you get a pretty naff red wine from a friend, they're probably a pretty naff person. So, you know, I don't want to be too judgmental or anything, but I do think that wines do tell you a lot about a person. And, of course, they can tell you a lot about a beef as well. But it's a very good texture. It's tending towards thin from medium body. But, you know, it's clearly a very good quality wine. I mean, why wouldn't it be? It's, you know, it's from the Gamay. I mean, there's a reason why Beaujolais is just so well respected as a wine. It's got absolute integrity. Indeed, of all the grape varietals in the world, is there anywhere else that is a single varietal but doesn't give you the name of the varietal? It's just called Beaujolais, but we all know it's actually Gamay, you know, and it's really very remarkable. And the more research you do about it, the better. Go over there, sink your, you know, ears inside one of the vats and just glug, basically. I mean, it's, you know, it's a very good thing to do. Try not to breathe too much of it in, of course. It'll make you cough, snuffle and... Yeah, this is a wine that is actually one of the wines, very few wines I would do this, but I actually would put this into a chiller or a fridge door for 20 minutes, half an hour on a very hot day. And then I'd just slice strawberries into it. And unfortunately, I don't have any strawberries today. I'm a bit of a seasonal person, and if it's not in season, then I don't go for it. So it would be more brambles, but I tend towards October for those. And of course, at the end of October, you've got the sloes. Get out there into the countryside, take a carrier bag with you, fill it up with sloes, and then freeze them overnight. And then get a really sharp knife. And this is painstaking and time taking, but I think you need to do this to get yourself inside of the process, which is nature. Just slit every single one of your sloes with the sharp knife, okay? And then you're going to... Right, so you've got a really decent bottle of gin. Don't do this with a cheap bottle of gin. A really decent one like Brecon gin. Make sure you've got another bottle. So each bottle has half of the gin, and then you fill it up to top with, you know, at least half the bottle is going to be these slightly... split sloes. They've been in a freezer overnight. That was to give you the equation of a night's frost, okay? And then you just, you know, swirl the bottle around quite a lot, and then you pop it into a dark cupboard for a week, and then you add sugar. Now, how much sugar? I would say, you know, probably up to an inch of sugar, but at least half an inch of sugar. Bearing in mind that the bottle's full of sloes, so, you know, it's not really going to be an inch of sugar. But, you know what I mean? A good amount of sugar applied over as many as 6 weeks. So a bit of sugar, then next week a bit of sugar. If you want to do the thing really properly, put the bottles, and I mean do loads of them, because you're going to love this stuff so much, you're going to want loads of it, especially if you've got guests, because they'll just drink it, you know, without reserve. Put all the bottles into straw or foam or whatever, and put them in a box inside the back of your car boot, and then over the next 4 to 6 weeks they will, you know, the motion of the car will essentially blend the sugar, the gin and the sloes very beautifully. But failing that, have them in a dark cupboard and just roll the bottle a couple of times a week. And they will be ready if you start it at the very end of October. They'll definitely be ready for your Christmas lunch or supper, you know. But I actually usually wait until late February. And then my favourite dish with sloe gin is lamb shanks. Okay, and next time, if I remember, and I probably won't, I'll tell you how to make an amazing cough medicine using the same principle but with different ingredients. Okay, so chin chin, beef brisket, shiitake, mushrooms with sweet potato creme fraiche and garden peas, not the woodland variety, and I think this wine is going to come into its own over the evening. Of course, wine always tastes a lot better when you've had, you know, at least two glassfuls of it. And of course, when you're wine tasting, you haven't had, and you've got that disadvantage. And it is difficult to make a big hit with your comments. But yeah, no, it's a bit of a Mike Tyson meets, you know, Nureyev wine. And of course, Beaujolais not only is associated with youth, but also with romantic love. You know, the rose of purple. It's very romantic, isn't it? And it really is a good one if you're sharing the beef brisket and the shiitake mushrooms with a lover or potential lover. I mean, anyone you share with will obviously become a lover at the evening's end, because there's no way they could have that sort of repast and a Beaujolais and not jump into bed with you. So if you are up for dating tips, I have to say, you know, this is the ultimate, really. There's no way the person you're sharing the meal with won't be your lover. You know, you wake up in the morning and think, good gracious, that really was an energetic and orgasmic evening, wasn't it? Wonderful. So, you know, I didn't introduce it as a dating tips thing, but it really is. And this is why I live alone and I eat everything and drink everything on my own, because, you know, I really don't want to wake up in the morning and think, good gracious. I mean, I never wake up in the morning, so obviously I don't think good gracious. Chin chin, I'll just give you a little bit of fruit and some herbaceous notes, and then I'll let you go, because I've got a whole load of beef brisket here, you know, and it's just shouting at me to consume. I mean, the food itself is orgasmic, never mind the wine pairing. Right, so on the nose I'm getting a whole load of burnt match, and on the palate I'm getting, because I know you've waited, you know, way over 20 minutes to hear this word, I know you have. Right, I'm getting a whole load of, whoa, wait for it, I'm getting a whole load of strawberries. You see, if there's one thing I do, I don't disappoint. You wanted that word, didn't you? I know you did. You were waiting for that. There's a whole load of strawberries in this wine. Oh, and a little bit of purple rose petals. Tiny bit of forest mushroom. In terms of herbs and spices, there is almost a quaint, very, very almost neglected, very distant concept of licorice, actually. You know, a little bit of marshmallow. That is a mallow which grows on the marsh. But we do have a lot of marsh here because it's Romney Marsh, you know. And we also get a lot of sloes. And also ditches. Not that the ditches are much use for anything, really. But without the ditches, the whole area would be under sea, you know. And, So in that sense, they are quite useful. Also, you can, if you need to get rid of bodies and that sort of thing, you can put them into ditches. So it's just a useful tip. I mean, it's obviously something of more use to those who live here on Romney Marsh than those who don't, but it's a good reason for living on Romney Marsh. I mean, if you do happen to be one of those peoples that sort of, find yourself with bodies on hand to get rid of. But and that was just an extraneous tip, not really anything to do with the food wine pairing as such. Yeah, I just when I get towards the bottom of the glass, I do love swirling it. And if you swirl it fast enough, it kind of looks quite brown, and then you think, oh my gosh, I've kept this wine for so long, but it is only actually 4 years old. And well, just one more thing or two that I think you might find in this glass. By the way, the wine I purchased from Naked Wines, okay? I've got a link for you. You can get, thousands of pounds worth of wine for practically nothing, or at least 80 quid off a case. That's amazing, isn't it? I'll try and remember to put the link in the description, okay? So we've got absolutely masses, I mean, chock fulls of strawberry, a little bit of purple rose petals, and it reminds me of foxgloves and butterflies and crickets burring in the late summer, and it also reminds me of deer prints in the snow. That's a remarkable thing when you have virgin snow and the only thing you can see in it is deer prints, and you think, good gracious, if I'd poked my head out of the window sometime earlier in the evening, I would have seen deer go by. But they did, because I mean, what else produces deer prints than deer? I mean, really and honestly, we have to ask ourselves. But I really do think there isn't anything else in the world, really. I mean, bears obviously do bear prints, rabbits do rabbit prints, and someday my prints will come. That's what people used to say, isn't it? And do you remember those days when you had those cameras and you had like a roll of film and you'd send it off in an envelope and you would say to yourself, someday my prince will come. Ha. Good joke, ha. Right, so there is quite a touch of raspberry in there. There is a little bit of red currant. There's more than a slight hint of cranberry, and I think when all's said and done, it really does taste of those red fruit pastels, but on a higher plane. Do you know what I mean? Not, not like, well, I don't know. Anyway, good evening, and I'm just going to enjoy my shit ache and beef brisket, and I hope you do too. And I'm terribly sorry you're not here, but at least I get to drink all the wine, eat all the brisket, and I'm thinking ahead to my slow gin. So thank you very much for looking, and don't forget, in a couple of days, I'm going to be opening the no, I'm going to tell you what it is, the Pinot Noir Rheinhessen. Yes. Yes, I don't want to leave you guessing. I don't want to leave you guessing. It's a Pinot Noir Rheinhessen. Do 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 do